your source for everything paranormal.
Para-X.
The views expressed and the opinions given by the individual host and their guests do not necessarily reflect those of Para-X, its affiliates, or its sponsors.
Bright the cheeks and warm the heart, for tread the circle thrice about to keep unwelcome spirits out. Bide within the law you must, in perfect love and perfect trust. Mind the threefold laws you should, three times bad and three times good. These eight words the reed fulfill, and ye harm none, do what ye will.
Welcome to Stirring the Cauldron on the Para-X Radio Network. And now, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
Merry meet everybody, and welcome to Stirring the Cauldron. Now tonight we're going to be talking about death rituals with psychic medium Jim Hunt. Now Jim is an acclaimed psychic medium, certified life coach, and ghost counselor who offers wisdom, direction, support, and common sense. Most know him as his role in the two-time nominated Canadian Screen Awards series Knock Knock Ghost, as well as features on Astonishing Legends, Darkness Radio, and The Outer Realm Radio. Now, Jim combines his talents to bring guidance and clarity to all those around him. Anybody in the chat room that has some questions and comments today, we'd be happy to hear from you. And if you're not in the chat room and care to join us, we're at paraxradionetwork.com, and I promise we don't bite. Well, I can't promise for everybody, but I don't anyway. All right. That being said, Jim, hello.
Marla, thank you. And I don't bite either. So hopefully we'll have some fun with this, right?
Yes. Think
thank
they're
you
gonna
for the
intro. We'll see how it goes, you know, when they might start throwing, you know, virtual tomatoes after a while.
Perfect.
All right. Well, death rituals. It's not necessarily a horrible, dreadful topic. It's more like an interesting topic because in every religion and culture, they have different rituals for the deceased, whether it's simple as throwing a handful of dirt on a casket or dressing in black. How did your interest in death rituals come about?
Well, I'm so interested in the dead, because that's who I've been working with most of my life, and the spirit world. And I get some of their rituals, and they talk about it, and they worry about their family doing so many things. So I'm actually writing a book on this. It's going to be a bit, so don't expect it to be out this year or next year. I want to make sure that I'm covering off all bases, but I want to make sure that there's no plagiarism. I want to make sure that I'm talking to the right people and getting their information, and it's going to be a very interactive book when I'm done with it. So I'm looking forward to it. And so I'm just basing a lot of this stuff on people that I've talked to who've actually gone through a lot of this.
Mm-hmm. Well, you know, I got to be thinking about death rituals, and something came to mind, which is sometimes dangerous, but, you know, in the beginning of time, there must have been a belief in an afterlife, life after death. Otherwise, there would not be rituals that have gone on through the ages. I kind of did a bit of research to see the first time that they were talking about a ritual like that, and it dates back to a tablet made in ancient Babylon around 1500 BCE. Mm-hmm. And that was the earliest known description of a ghost. So, all right, so from that time on, people have been talking about life after death. They're believing that in spirits and all that. So why do you think that there are those who still think that there's no such thing as spirits or an afterlife?
Well, it's so hard because we're all so different individuals, and we have our own feelings and thoughts, obviously. And there, back in the day, there was a sense of control from Catholicism to other types of Egyptian type of control. That's one way of looking at it. And people did not want to be controlled, so they didn't want their death to be controlled either. So these rituals that were happening, they're going, when you're dead, you're dead. I'm just going to be moving. You bury me. Thank you very much. But I don't believe in a life after death. And so you can get both sides of it, where the other side will just say to you, I believe in life after death. I have seen a ghost. I have seen a spirit. And in those circumstances, it's like the left fighting the right. So no one will ever feel right until they're actually in it or feeling it. And there has been so many people that I have life coached or talked or did psychic readings for who have had past life experiences and have come to such a belief where they didn't before, and they saw the light, their lives passed before them. They were almost at the place of judgment that they were talking about. And then they just said, oh, someone said, it's not your time. You're going back there. And then this whole new side of them opened up and they tried to explain what they experienced. But the people who still did not believe in life after death, they were shunned upon. They were considered witches. They were considered part of the dark energy of life, that they were evil. So a lot of people were just told to be quiet, and the ones that didn't believe in death were the ones that were winning.
Mm-hmm.
Life after death, sorry.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. I mean, it just kind of, some people have a very scientific mind and they need proof. Well, we're never going to have that kind of proof. But there's the other part of believing, you know, believing about souls, believing about all these things that they've heard all along that aren't necessarily balderdash. I mean, there are people that come up with stories that you kind of shake your head on, you know, because not everybody, you know, thinks the same way as other people.
No, not at all. People handle death of their loved ones or friends as the individual who died himself or she died himself. We'll all be sad. We'll feel the loss and we'll go into a state of shock because of that person's passing. But someone who's a psychic medium, someone who hears from the dead in an auditorial way, they will return and give us back their feelings about why they have passed on. And this is why I like the idea that life after death, we're always getting messages, because that's what I was brought up to be, is a messenger for the dead. Mm-hmm. So I know that there's life after death for me. And I get argued and sentenced to a purgatory from people because they haven't experienced what I experienced. And you can share it, but if they don't feel it, they're not going to believe it, right?
Yeah, it has to have something to do with their having something similar. Or, I mean, there are people that have not had things like that going on, but they're open-minded enough. You know, I have a good friend that's a psychiatrist. And, you know, you diagnose a lot of people who say, well, you know, I've got hearing. Somebody's talking to me in my head, you know. Mm-hmm. And he's got an open mind, this guy. And I said to him, we were talking about it the other day, and I said, how do you, in determining diagnoses, because you have an open mind, you know, how can you say that what they're saying might be not what you think it is? You know, maybe it's whatever, and your colleagues would probably laugh you out of, you know, anywhere if you said, well, maybe it has something to do with the spirit, and, you know, you're doing hearing something. So, and, you know, go ahead.
I believe that that therapist and or psychiatrist is at of a higher soul level, that mm-hmm. has been through the afterlife process, is really understanding and maintaining those feelings of others without chastising them or making fun of them, but mm-hmm. listening to them so that they can feel at peace with what they felt and saw without mm-hmm. feeling guilty about it. We've been guilted into not believing anything. And it was either for North Americans, for us, Canada, U.S., many other places, Catholicism ruled. There is an afterlife in that Bible. There is something that connects us. And even they have a hard time believing that the afterlife is going to happen.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been involved in it. But it's the professionals that will start coming out of the woodwork and just saying, there is a spiritual connection to the people who have heard the dead or have seen a ghost and have spoken to them. I personally held my mother's hand when she died. I felt her energy go through me and just tell me that everything will be okay. I have two sisters and a father who just said, your mother's dead. There's nothing that we can feel or do about it. We're just going to be sad. And I think you're bullshitting me. So it's all interpreted on what we do. And I don't try to convince people anymore. No. I just say, this is what it is. And I would say when I was learning to be a good intuitive, that I was really aggressively trying to make you believe in everything that I saw. It doesn't work that way. You have to feel it. You have to see it. You have to almost taste it for you to fall into that category of, yep, there is somebody, there is a ritual afterlife. There is something that's going to happen. And we just deal with death so differently. And it plays such an emotional scar on us because of what society's done to us.
I was just going to say, you know, we can't tell anybody things that they don't want to hear, you know, but when we believe in and we know, you know, that's the thing. Believe is a very big word. And knowing and feeling, you know, so who cares if they believe us, you know, whatever. It's their problem because I think we're the lucky ones.
But, Marla, I love our ideas of that. But then we are ridiculed and we're made fun of. And I have a thick skin, so I don't really worry about what people feel and think any longer when I used to. But suffering that in between was like people talk about PTSD. We were getting that from the general public because that guy's a freak. And it didn't work until the late 90s that people were really going, oh, psychics, yeah, maybe they do have something. Maybe there is something there. Mediums were never believed in anything. They thought we were crazy. So now now everybody wants to knock on our doors and just say, I haven't heard from my loved one, or you haven't talked to my loved one. Sometimes your loved ones have passed on into the light and they're not coming back to this earth again to do this all over again. They've done their judgment. They're finished. And all they're going to do is wait for you to show up after you pass on, give you the biggest hug in the world and just say, guess what? You got to come back because you did a lot of crap in between.
I can wait for that. And, you know, and we've heard stories about people swearing that they've seen a loved one at their own funeral. Some people say that once a spirit crosses over, they can't come back. Others say that they have free will to come and go as they please. What are your thoughts on that? Because I wonder if those who have crossed over appreciate the rituals that we might carry out, or maybe once they're crossed over there, they're not thinking with a human brain anymore. They're more enlightened than we are. So maybe it doesn't matter to them.
You see, I'm going to give you a couple of examples here, Marla, that it's really neat. For instance, my personal experience was with my mom. I held her hand. She passed. She took her last breath. I was her first child. So I felt like the responsibility of being there with my mother. She gave birth to me. I held her hand for her last breath and she moved on. I felt her energy. Like I said, everything was peaceful. There was no anxiousness about her. There was no real sudden freaking out by me. I just felt that she was at peace. But being human, I wanted to hear from her again. I wanted to hear her laugh. And it was 7 years before I heard from her again. And when I did hear from her in those 7 years, I got in trouble. Why are you calling on me? I said, that's my mother talking to me with another medium. Why are you calling on me? I am healthy. I am happy. I'm keeping an eye on all of you. I said to you before I passed away, no one will have the same cancer as me or die of cancer because I'm making sure that all of you will be safe. And I'm going, okay, great. And then I did not hear from her again until my first child was born. So there was a lot of stress for me in that regard because, hey, why am I not talking to you? Why aren't you talking to me? I talk to everybody else's mom and they don't treat me like that. You know, why are you doing that to me? Mm-hmm. But I can give someone the presence and the satisfaction that, hey, your mom passed away. She's beside you. She's loving you. She enjoys her grandchildren. She's always making sure that you're okay. My mother didn't do that. You know, so there's a difference of what happens. But I love to share that story only because some people say, I haven't felt my mom since she passed away. Mm-hmm. Well, maybe she doesn't just want to come back right now because she's had enough of us. That's mm-hmm. basically what it was. She was enjoying and learning.
But they do, or they can, come back at any time.
Anytime. Yeah. Absolutely.
Because I was watching the ball game the other night and I thought, oh, how many spirits are in the stands now? You know, because they were, you know, following the Dodgers or the Yankees or mm-hmm. whoever. You know, I mean, they could take a break from doing what they're doing up there and come back and enjoy some baseball or something, you know.
I was at a concert just a couple of nights ago and I was sitting there watching 17,000 people watching a concert, but there were like 50,000 people watching that concert.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
You know, yeah. And that's hard for people to fathom, but that's what I see.
Mm-hmm.
And they don't bother me. They don't say, hey, go tell my son what I'm here with him. They don't, it's not important to them.
Yeah.
But they're there with our own essence and our own energy with us maybe saying, oh man, dad would have liked to see Bachman Turner Overdrive because mm-hmm. that was something that he played in the garage. Mm-hmm. And you're just sitting there and you're going, wow, your dad dances better than you in spirit than you dance live and in person. So, you know, it's kind of funny. But you see them, and they don't have messages to give because it's not necessary at that time.
So when we do these rituals, we're pretty much, correct me if I'm wrong, doing it just for ourselves.
Maybe. We are.
Yeah.
And that's where our world takes advantage of us. And mm-hmm. that it's I'm saying that not to be mean to anyone, or you all can do what you need to do to make yourself feel comfortable with the passing of a loved one, because that's very important to you.
Mm-hmm.
But don't lose the very last penny that you have to finish off a funeral that everyone's going to see for 12 hours or 24 hours. And then you're out of pocket for all of this.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why I'm saying this is my wife and I just did our wills a couple of weeks ago.
Mm-hmm.
I am going from wherever I will be to the crematorium and then to be to have my body cremated, put in an urn, and returned to my family. And the cost is $2,000 Canadian.
Mm-hmm.
And what I'm going to do with the other 2,000 that I told Jill was, is there better be beer at the house. There better be barbecue, chips. There better be some chicken wings and pizza. And for the vegetarians, I'm going to make sure you have some salad.
There you go.
Yeah. You have to have a party.
Mm-hmm.
The celebration. We were there for everybody, and as everybody was there for them. Tell us the stories. Give my grandchildren stories of what I did that their parents don't want them to know. Share things of love and share our sadness of, you know, losing someone and how bad we felt and what we did. And it's always a recovery for us. And the only way that we do recover is by sharing our feelings, our emotions. And I think creating this atmosphere of love and admiration for the person that passed away, if that's what you believe, mm-hmm. then go ahead and do it, because some people, and I'm not being a horrible here, but some of us want those people to pass away and they want that funeral done and they want us gone because they were suffering with us in our death and now they can live for themselves and enjoy their lives because they were taking care of us so much.
Mm-hmm.
So there's always one way or another to look at it, right?
Yeah, and we shouldn't be guilty. I mean, I'm guilty of my ancestor altar, and we're going to talk about those down the line, but
sure.
I have one and every night I light a candle in there. Mm. And sometimes I forget, you know, I'm doing something else, I'm not paying attention, and 3 hours later it's dark and the thing's not lit, and I feel the need to go and apologize that I forgot the light.
That's amazing.
I know they don't care, probably, one way or the other. But it's like, I'm sorry. And I went as far as not using a candle anymore. I start using a battery candle that you could program to go on and off on itself.
Oh, my gosh. Look at you, Marla.
Seriously. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah. So, but yeah, that's what we're kind of saying, is that these rituals that we're going to be talking about are just much for us. You know, everybody has their own thing, but we'll be talking about some of them and get people interested. Now, sometimes, you know, when we're talking about the word ritual,
yes,
some people think of something elaborate and time-consuming.
Oh, but my gosh, do they ever.
Many rituals don't require pomp and circumstance at all, do they?
No. Going into some of the things that we were going to discuss is, you know what the biggest one is? When my mother passed away, I put this as the number one, because anybody that I've talked to do this. They cook the loved one's favorite meal.
Okay.
They feed the soul, food for the soul. And that's a ritual by so many people. My mother loved cabbage rolls. So off she passed away. It was 11 o'clock at night. I was gone home by 3 a.m. The grocery store, because it was the 70s, opened up at 9 o'clock. There were no 24-hour grocery stores back then. Get in there, take the cabbage, the rice, the meat, and make cabbage rolls for everyone who's going to come by the house that day.
So let me ask you this. Did you do that for yourself or for your mother?
I did that for my mom.
Okay.
And because it was done out of respect, because that was her favorite. And why not share something that was so good and comforting and wholesome for my family? And it opened up a door of, oh, your mom used to make these with a smell in your house. I can remember the smell of this. And this is what your mom did. And then the stories will come out. You know, she used to drink wine with this. Where's the wine, Jim? You know, and so it's 9 o'clock in the morning, miss, you know, but it's like,
all right,
but you had a smile on their face. Yes, they were still sad along with me. But it was a good sad. It was a memory that, oh, we're not going to feel them as much anymore. We're not going to be able to celebrate with them anymore. But we do on a spiritual level that we just don't connect to, most of us, anymore.
Well, you know, food is important when somebody passes. There's always, you know, the custom of people taking food to the people deceased family's house. You know, so they don't have to cook and while they're in mourning. And lots of times after a funeral, people get together and go eat and, you know, gather families at home and eat. And so food is always tied in to that.
Oh, absolutely. My father burnt water. So everybody brought food, you know. So we were saved for about a month because we lived in a very strong Italian community. Where, again, another ritual of wearing black as in mourning for a year or for the rest of your life if it was your husband, they would come and bring us food or invite us to their home for food, open up their door and make sure that we were fed, made sure that everybody was okay. So the ritual of food goes so many different ways and so many values.
Exactly. I'm going to throw in a question from the chat room before I lose it, okay?
Okay, sure.
It says, what do you think the majority of spirits you encounter are doing as far as the afterlife? Are they continuing the life that they left or processing many to move on?
Oh, my goodness. It depends on how many lives they've had, and they've reviewed most of them, and they're going, I don't want to come back and do that again. Nobody wants to redo their life over again. Nobody wants to go back and become that general manager at Walmart. They want to change and go into something completely different. What they're doing is they're experiencing what they've gone through and how can they be better the next time they come back? What can they do better? Can they share more of their personality? Or they don't have to be the introvert anymore. Now it's time to be the extrovert. Go out and enjoy something. They sit there and they just say, do you think when I come back I'm going to do this? And all I tell them, when, because they're still in a confused state, and I just say, you're just going to do better the second time you come around, or the fifth time that you come around. You'll find a way that you're going to enjoy this, because you're not going to remember when you come back to Earth, because it's really going to be hard for you to recount your past lives. But you're going to live better, a better life for it, you know?
Hopefully, because some people just never learn. And
no, they don't. And they return and return to that life.
And each time they do, they say, I'm never coming back. I don't want to do this again.
Yes.
That's funny. Yeah.
I know. Those happen. But a majority of us actually do change into a new life, into a different part of it. If your soul lives are, I go from 1 to 10, and if you're still the 1, 2 struggler, you might come back and do that 3 or 4 times, you know?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well, you know, life lessons, we should listen to them while we're here.
Absolutely. Yep.
It's funny, somebody in the chat room, and I was thinking the same thing too, said, food at a funeral always reminds her of sin eaters.
Oh, wow. Yes. Yeah. It's the truth. But you see, that's society doing that to us. That's nothing else but us worrying about something that we shouldn't be thinking about.
Mm-hmm. Why not?
Yep.
Okay. Yeah. You'd like... You went away for a second.
Yeah, I was just watching that. Sorry.
Oh, okay. But yeah, I mean, it's just so funny the way things work, you know, sin eaters and you know, we always think kind of with the rituals as being horribly bad and ugly. And, you know, I mean, and there are some really icky death rituals around for sure.
Oh, yes.
But they're not all so bad. I mean, some of them actually are kind of half decent. Like, okay, you told me about one that I was reading, and it was, you know, because every culture and religion have their own customs and rituals, we know this.
Yes.
And today I was watching something on YouTube, and there was a man from India saying that his uncle had just passed away, and all the men in the family had to shave their heads in mourning.
Mm-hmm.
He didn't go any deeper than that, but that was something I hadn't heard. But some rituals are quite common, others... are new and interesting, and one of the ones that you brought up was something I never heard of, which was the giveaway ritual. What is that?
The giveaway. Well, that's kind of different than everybody. This is more of the Aboriginal side,
mm-hmm.
okay? Because this is ancient, and I was flabbergasted by some of this because I have a Native history. Mm-hmm. But not as strong as everybody, but I'm a quarter of whatever I'm supposed to be. A family, traditionally, will encourage family and friends to give something that belonged to their loved one. It could be a gathering of lunch again or a dinner. It could be a piece of clothing, a piece of jewelry, a book, you know, it just, or... the humor that that person had and shared a joke. It's giving away what they gave to us, and we're returning that favor to the end so that they can go away with a memory of happiness and joy.
Mm.
I still have my mother's, the only thing that I have of my mother is a scarf, a scarf that she wore all the time through every blizzard that was in Montreal that I grew up with her with.
Wow.
So I have that, and I'll never... lose that, and that is something that will be given to my daughter.
Mm-hmm.
Because that's a ritual of giving something away that has a lot of meaning.
Yeah. And you know, I know a lot of people do that. I mean, some people share ashes, you know, if somebody's cremated, mm-hmm. they give ashes to family members and things like that, or, you know, now those things that they make diamonds out of ashes,
yep.
and jewelry and stuff. Yeah, I mean, whatever works, but it's always nice to remember them. And I think even though they don't necessarily care what we're doing at all times, I think that they're happy when we do remember them. Like if a song comes on the radio and it was like my grandmother's favorite, you know, I'll say, Grandma, can you hear this one? You know, because
which is beautiful.
Yeah.
And for my grandfather, I have a 78 record of my God, now it just slipped my tongue. Elvis Presley in the 78.
Mm.
And he had that forever. And I had that played at his funeral. And I had asked my dad, do you want this? He says, no, I have all my memories of dad. You can have this. That will be something. So that was a giveaway, mm-hmm. even though I had the album. So I still have that to this day from him.
Nice.
And my dad, I have a can opener, believe it or not.
Oh, I can top that. I got my grandmother's melon baller.
There you go. Beautiful.
Yeah, yeah. So what can you say? I mean, I'm supposed to have it, you know.
And it makes us feel good. And sometimes we can get so emotionally disconnected from somebody. And somebody will knock on your door and just say, this was your dad's. He gave it to me back in the 70s. Mm-hmm. And this was a drill. I don't need this drill. He just made, I never had a drill, so he gave me his old drill. Here's the drill that I want you to take this drill. Now, I only know this story because my sister was given that drill, mm-hmm. you know? And it, mm-hmm. and so she just was thankful that she got that. So it was yeah. beautiful yeah. and something that she never would have thought of. Mm-hmm. So, you know, and that, it's like, it was beautiful.
Yeah, it is.
Those kind of things. So, yeah, the giveaway is something that we all should do mm-hmm. because I don't, there's keepsakes and then there's too many keepsakes to a point mm-hmm. that we're almost hoarding all of those and not sharing those memories with the rest of our family.
Right.
So there's always an extreme to that as well.
All right. We have an extreme thing about time right now because the half hour is gone and we're going to take a break.
Gosh.
I know. It was like, didn't we just say hello? Yeah. All right, guys, stay put. We're going to take a quick break, and we'll be back in a couple of minutes.
Stirring the Cauldron will be right back, so don't go away. If you end up with webbed feet, remember, you've been warned.
Hi, I'm Kimberly Juarez with Cat Paranormal of Minnesota.
And I'm Jerry Ayers with Supernatural Investigators of Minnesota. And together, we are The Calling. Every Wednesday night, 7 p.m. Central Standard Time and 8 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, only on ParaXRadioNetwork.com.
Podcast experience. We have you covered. Spirit Bayou with CJ Dunham airs live from the Third Coast in Southeast Texas on Tuesday and Fridays at midnight Eastern Time, covering Creole folklore and folk magic to strange paranormal activity to new equipment for the field. CJ Dunham is a Catholic swamp witch, a devotee to our Mother Mary in the Trinity, a true believer in our Lord, the Holy Ghost, and Christ. Peace be with your spirit and the spirits by you.
Hey everyone, it's Marla. If you like tonight's episode of Stirring the Cauldron and the archive podcast as well, take a look at the show's YouTube channel and check out the dozens of shows that are there just waiting to be heard. New shows are added each week, and while you're there, why not subscribe? It's free. And if you click on that tiny little bell icon at the top of the page, you'll be notified when new shows are available. Just go to youtube.com and then type in Stirring the Cauldron Para X and the link will appear. Just like magic.
Welcome back to Stirring the Cauldron. Once again, here's your host, Marla Brooks.
And my guest tonight is psychic medium Jim Hunt, and we're talking about death rituals. I've got another question from the chat room.
Okay.
Is there such a thing as becoming too attached to the dead that it encumbers their passage?
Absolutely. We can be calling on them nonstop, and they're being pulled to our energy because they're in between their movement into the light. They go to the light, but they still feel like they're being called back by their loved ones. So they feel torn. They know that their body has seen its limits, but we're calling them in, and they still have that empathic side of them that they think they need to return. And usually that's where our job comes in and just say, listen, you're hurting this loved one that's passed away. They're sitting in a state of limbo here because they can't move on because you're so distraught. Why don't we work on that with you? Why don't we talk about this? Why don't we talk to somebody to help you move forward? You're allowed to miss them and love them, but they're not coming back. And you sort of have to instill that into their head to say they're not coming back as someone that you have already known. They will come back, but they will be different. But you'll have all these memories. Just try and do it that way. That's a simple way of getting their shock done. But a lot of times they will call on them so much that it's like doing a seance, but a personal seance that you really don't want to do.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Now, in my family, whenever someone in the household died, all the mirrors got covered. Now, there are various reasons why they're covered. I think in Victorian times, it was covered because they think the deceased image would get trapped in the mirror. Mm-hmm. Or if a person saw his or her image after death in the household, that person would die shortly. So what death rituals were you brought up with?
So mine were, there were two different rituals because my father was adopted by a Jewish man. So we had the Jewish funeral, which was within 24 hours. The person who's passed away, their body is bathed and then buried within 24 hours. It just was a beautiful thing, you know. Mm-hmm. And the mirrors were covered because for fear of them seeing themselves and getting stuck in that image and not being able to move into the light. That's what I was understanding in the Shiva. So they took care of themselves. Now, on the Catholic side, we had arrangements at the funeral, getting permission from the priest to come to either the funeral home or to the church or to both. 3 days of mourning, a week off for anyone that wasn't main family, or 2 weeks off if that was your mother. And then you go back to work. So it was like people were just hanging on to this energy of sadness for 2 weeks that they didn't need to. They should have gotten back on their feet after a few days, and with the support of family, that's how they should work on it. But it doesn't always work that way because some people can't handle the death of a loved one.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, it's never easy, but some people can take it a little better than others. Now, here's another ritual that you brought up to me.
Okay.
Because, unfortunately, some cases there are many things left unsaid if somebody departs unexpectedly or you know, whatever. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about holding a mourning ritual where you were talking about friends and family writing all of their unsaid words and blessings to the departed, and then possibly either burying them with, you know, putting the letters in the burial, or mm-hmm. Maybe burn them and let them go up to the ethers.
Do you understand that this is another ritual that is out there? Many of us don't do it, but I think that many of us should do it. And because you're getting a form of closure by writing this letter and just saying, I wasn't there for you when I should have been. I was this horrible sister, horrible brother, horrible uncle or aunt or whatever. And I should have been there to help you through things, but I didn't know what to do myself. And I was someone filled with anxiety and depression that I couldn't help you because I couldn't help myself. And if you write those words or the words that you're feeling and giving it and asking it if it could be put in the casket or can it be sent to the crematorium with them, you are actually letting go of things that you shouldn't be hanging on to in the first place. And again, a psychic medium will come out and just say, they thanked you for the letter that you wrote to them. They're thanking you for the ritual that you just did. They read that letter and told you that everything was going to be okay, but you weren't listening because you were under such despair. And when we get permission to be able to say that they've received something like that, it's like you see a weight lifted off of their shoulders, their aura colors change, they feel more forgiven or happy that they actually got that message. And that has happened to me probably 60% of my readings. Mm-hmm. So that's why I brought that one up quite a bit. And they said, how would you know that? I said, well, I don't know that, but your mother's telling me that.
That's it.
You know, so.
We can never take credit for what we get from the other side.
Absolutely not. If we do, there's something wrong with us for sure.
Yeah, definitely. You know, talking about being so close to the person who died, I'm going to make my family sound like a bunch of nuts, but I had a relative that kept her husband's ashes with her. Mm-hmm. Now, she would take the urn whenever she went on vacation, mm-hmm. whenever she moved, when she went to visit relatives for short visits. She moved across country several times. He went with her. And, you know, someone in the family said, well, that poor guy's had more mileage in death than he did in life.
It's just that's just costing you extra money to carry that around with you.
Well, that too. Yeah.
Go ahead. Sorry.
No. Say what you're going to say.
Listen, I love the idea of doing that because that's giving somebody else closure, saying, you know, I couldn't have done this without you. And mm-hmm. to feel that energy, it's important to them. It might not be important to us. And again, the loss of someone is an individual feeling. We do the weirdest things. But to me, I'm listening to that and I got a smile on my face saying, she must have been happy or he must have been happy doing that because they are sharing and talking to them probably with a glass of wine, sitting in the hotel room and just saying, this is what we did today. Wasn't that great? I got a lot out of it. Where if they would have done it without their presence or something that belonged to them with them, they wouldn't have enjoyed the trip as much. They wouldn't have felt satisfied or they would have felt guilty traveling. Mm-hmm. So it's good for them. I think that was amazing. Kudos to that person.
It is a little heavy maybe, but you know, and like we were talking before, all the jewelry made and the ashes where you wear around the neck, that's all right. Carrying that urn, and this was an elderly woman. It's a good mm-hmm. thing she didn't have a hernia carrying this urn.
It's a big deal. And I know a lot of jewelers here in Toronto, Canada, that do that on a regular basis. And they are backed up to about 6 or 8 months getting this done for people. So it is a big deal for a lot of people.
I like the Victorian way of taking the lock of hair and putting it in a necklace. You know, and carrying the hair, a little bit of hair. I mean, it's
beautiful. It is. It is. Yeah. I what people do, and I have a client that they had their relative or their spouse's favorite shirt, and it was turned into a pillow.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I just love these little things. Like, you know, that's why not? You've celebrated so many years with them. Why not have that one little piece that will allow you to sleep that night, to feel like that person is still with you, no matter what it is. It shouldn't be an embarrassment and that you shouldn't feel bad about it.
Right. Yeah, exactly. I was going to talk about candles.
Yes.
Candles, let me go up back to the ancestor altars. Because I think that is something that is for remembrance. And if you create the altar and I have pictures on mine, but I also have remembrance items like my grandfather's Masonic cufflinks or my great grandmother's hairpin. Mm-hmm. So, you know, how would you say if somebody didn't know how to set up an altar like that, how would you say go about making one?
Okay. Again, this is an individual taste. Okay. For me, my altar's simple. I have a small metal case and I put a candle in there, and I'm not a smoker, but I will take a cigarette and put it beside them. I will take a glass of wine, put it beside them, and I will do that ritual maybe once a week. And I will put that there and I'll just say, hey guys, thank you very much for doing what you did for me today. You helped me get through another tough week of people who are having a lot of issues and maybe I was able to help them. Let's celebrate by creating that altar and thanking them for helping us, because I feel the dead give me information to help me, whether it's my parents, your parents, a relative, or somebody we don't even know, that is helping us give information to give people closure. And I think doing that altar, you are fundamentally thanking them and honoring them by giving them something in return for, as an offering, to make us feel like it's a thank you more than anything. It's not a religious thing. It's just a thank you.
Mm-hmm. And you want to keep them alive. I mean, you know, there's that old saying, that is, once you speak their name, they're never dead until people stop speaking their names. And, you know, we all have different ways of trying to immortalize our relatives because, I mean, okay, if you're a son or a daughter or whatever, mm-hmm. married to somebody that's really famous, their legacy is going to keep going.
Yes.
I did something that I thought was really important. I wrote a cookbook. And because my grandparents had a delicatessen in Philadelphia back in the 30s. And I got all their recipes. And I made a cookbook with all their recipes and pictures of them and stuff. And that gets them living on forever. And the recipes are pretty good, too.
You see, sorry, and I agree with you. That is amazing. I believe that I've got the one recipe that I loved as a child from my mom, which was that quick white cake mix from scratch and a very inexpensive way of making a caramel sauce. And I would come home to that from school almost every second day. Warm white cake with caramel sauce and a glass of milk. You had a hard day, didn't you, Jimmy? Here you go. Have a piece of cake and caramel. Not that you're going to be 900 pounds by the grade 11, but you're going to be good. You're going to be healthy. But I have that recipe, and I make it for my daughter. So it's important.
Yeah, and, you know, I keep thinking, well, the book's going to be on the shelves forever, so somebody will remember that person, or, you mm-hmm. know, it's just mm-hmm. kind of nice. So another thing, simple ritual, is mm-hmm. with candles, just by lighting a candle. That is a ritual. What do you think about candles?
So what I like about this is people have done this and told me that my mom passed away at 11:17 p.m., and I really don't go to bed until about midnight most nights. I still light a candle at 11:17 p.m., and it's been 42 years.
Wow.
And that candle is lit. I thank her for everything that she did because I was quite young when she passed away. But in the short time that I had her, she gave me a feeling of accomplishment. And when I light that candle, I've achieved something over the day, and lighting that candle is thanking her because I'm still achieving and I'm still doing something. So it just gives a personal message to the person that you love. And trust me, on the other side of those gates, they feel that light. They feel that energy because they know that we love them. So they present themselves with maybe giving us that extra hug. The candle that I light, I get a good feeling from it. But because I've been doing this ritual for so long, on my birth date, I will get a different message from my mother every time to wish me a happy birthday. Every time. And it can be coming out of nowhere, and it could be before the end of my day or right at the beginning of my day, but I get a message from my mom every time.
Oh, that's good.
It is.
Now, some people complain, and rightly so, that they never, ever hear from their deceased mother, father, whatever. But sometimes, and again, if I'm wrong, tell me, we don't always hear it. We get an omen. We get something that attaches to them that we should realize, but sometimes we don't.
Sometimes we are so mesmerized by other people saying that I got my mom a hug, or I saw an apparition of my mother on the wharf where I used to sit all the time, or my dad, I'm sitting in the garage and I can smell his cigarette smoke. Those are messages for sure. But some of us are not getting a message at all. And remember, people, 7 years I waited for some kind of a message from my mom, and I got in trouble for it. So you didn't want, like, you don't want to mess with them sometimes, but you can get it from people will say, oh, my mother always filled the hummingbird thing. And now there's, I didn't fill it up, but there's a hummingbird there. Or my mother loved butterflies that people use. And there's always some kind of ritual. There's a beautiful thing on YouTube at a funeral where a child had passed away and the balloon walked out following the parents who had lost that child, and the balloon followed them.
Oh, nice.
And so that was a beautiful thing to see. And I had tears in my eyes from that, just going, you know, you don't want to die before your child, which so many people, I'm sorry that you have had that experience. But to me, after these parents were interviewed, they got closure from that almost immediately.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what's important.
Yeah. And, you know, sometimes just open your mind a little bit. You know, sometimes you have to look a little harder to get an omen of some sort.
Absolutely.
But just open your mind and say, you know, I'm open to whatever you're sending me. And simple.
And call on a good psychic medium that is not going to play at your heartstrings. And just say, I am looking for a message from my mother. We will tell you if we get one or not. I will never fake a scenario saying, oh, your mother's right beside you. But what I can tell them is give them little tidbits of information that only they would know. And then they know that I'm authentic. And then they start to cry. Or that release is, oh, thank you for that, because I haven't heard from her in 20 years.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And
yeah.
It's those are good things. That's what keeps me coming back to doing what I do well.
Mm-hmm. And you do it well.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
One more simple ritual is saging. And I never thought of that as a ritual. I thought of it as, you know, cleansing and stuff, but never thought of it as a ritual.
Well, again, from the native side, which was my grandmother, and she was Sioux Indian. So there was a ritual of sage daily in our home. And if we were to go out at night, my grandmother would smudge us before we left. Mm-hmm. There was always something that was there. And this has been used as a cleansing property by the Aboriginals. And it was done to remove any unwanted spirits or connections to the dark energy that would try and hurt their family members or something that would stick around in your home. Mm-hmm. But as simple as hard as that is, the simple thing about burning sage, it is a personal ceremony to someone that you love, and it does it all on its own. It brings out a feeling of connection involving burning sage, because you can feel their presence doing that. I don't know how to explain it but I wish I could explain it better or give a better visual. It is like you can get that feeling of someone touching your forearm or someone whispering in your ear or a touch of your hair, or you don't cry and all of a sudden you have a tear coming. That ritual is because the cleansing of the sage is the cleansing of every energy around you, and our loved one has the strength to come in and give us that information and just to give us love.
Mm-hmm.
You'll feel it. I'm telling you, anybody who wants to do that, do it. And for anybody else, the tradition is how the Aboriginal people want it to be said, because they still take ownership to that. And I have no fault in saying that. They call it smoke, like what Scotland would do, or Ireland. They call it smoke. They don't call it burning sage.
Mm-hmm. Time's getting short, but I got another chat room question. Yeah, Wolf is right. She wants to know if you know where the idea of kissing the face of a deceased makes you miss them less. That's one I never heard of that one.
Wow, that's a good one.
Mm-hmm.
That has to be a European thing. They can reach out to me and I will find out for you. I'm going to write that down because I can't give you an answer because I don't know.
Okay, yeah.
But that is that was one of the coolest questions in 2022 for Jim Hunt. Thank you.
Well, there we go. That's always a nice thing. You don't get Don't you hate it when you keep getting asked the same questions over and over and over again?
Yeah. Oh, but Marla, I do understand, and we do it because we love our craft. So we will say it without judgment and not say, oh, not roll our eyes. I've never done that to anyone, but I do understand where we're coming from.
Okay.
But that's beautiful. Thank you very much, caller. That's like, wow, that's cool.
Yes. All right. So as we've got like a couple of minutes left only, I think maybe, you know, we're talking about rituals. There are all kinds of it. You know, there are familial rituals. There are things that maybe we should adapt at some point, and we've talked about a couple of those. But, you know, when it comes down to it, maybe the simplest ritual of all is just talking to those on the other side and letting them know that we still remember and like them. And, you know, maybe we have a question or something. I mean, again, I can't imagine that they're always sitting around waiting to hear from us.
They're not.
But they do things, you know, I mean, they can hear me. I don't know. It doesn't make sense. But what I'm trying to say is maybe when you're saying something and if it's so important to you, maybe that message gets to them quicker because it comes from the heart or the soul rather than just asking a hi, how are you thing.
And it does. And if people are having a hard time doing that, my suggestion is for you to go to your favorite spot, a nature spot, go to a lake, go to into the forest, ride your bike somewhere where the elementals can help you release that energy so that they can give the message to the loved one that you're missing so much. And maybe they will, in turn, Mother Nature will give you a sign that they've received that message. Mother Nature does amazing things for us when we've had people pass away.
Absolutely. Well, it does it for everybody in general. I mean,
yes.
You know, some people say, well, some people go to church and some people go to nature.
Mm-hmm.
That's exactly. Kind of how it works. All right. In the last minute, tell everybody where they can find you, you know, about with questions or booking an online session or finding out more stuff.
Okay. So a couple of things that my American crew need to know is you're paying less, like you're paying 34 cents on the dollar. So you're saving a lot of money. I have 30-minute bookings and 50-minute bookings, and I have the life coaching. But you're already saving almost 35% on the booking, no matter how you look at it. So it's really cool for you. My Canadians don't care for that too much. And I'm sorry, Canada. I really am. But everything is everything on TikTok to Twitter to my own personal website. It's Jim Hunt Official. And you can't go wrong. You can't miss out. I don't answer anything on my webpage because I just don't have the time. Can you imagine us answering the 50 million questions that we do get? And I'm telling you, I get a lot of them and I can't answer you all the time. And I'm sorry for that. But I do go live on Instagram once a month. And you just go in there, you say your piece, give me your birth date and year, type it, copy and paste it, and I'll get to you. And I come on for about 45 minutes, and that's a hoot for me. I have a lot of fun with that.
All right. Everybody do that. And in the meantime, as usual, we're running out of time. I hope at some point you can come back again.
I would love to.
We have a lot of fun, and we're getting good information out, so that's a good thing. And thank you, everybody, for listening in tonight as well. And as always, blessed be. And merry meet again. Good night.
Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Stirring the Cauldron with Marla Brooks. Please join us again next week at the same time for another great guest and more cauldron stirring. Any rebroadcast or other use of this program without explicit permission is strictly prohibited. Copyright 2024. The Mysterioso March by Kevin MacLeod is licensed through Incompetech.com.